Hey, Relay friends. In this episode of Group Chat with me, Matt Chittum, Laura Thwaite, Peter Bromka, and Lindsay Hine, we talk about the London Marathon, of course, Taylor Swift's new album, Imposter Syndrome, my journey back to the marathon, maybe, we'll see, and much more. So let's get into it here on Relay. What a race the London Marathon was this weekend. So much fun to watch. Peter, what time do you set your alarm to watch the London Marathon up there in the West Coast? I know you're basically on the complete other side of the world from this race.
Let me just say that I have destroyed my sleep once or twice, and it's only been for the one and only Eliud Kipchoge. When he set his world record years ago, I set my alarm for like 12:45 in the morning and watched from 1 to 3 in the morning and stumbled around as a zombie for the next 48 hours. So I have settled into waking up on Sunday morning like it's Christmas morning and checking in on the results. Some fun racing, some fast racing. I'm not sure if anyone has gone back and rewatched the women's finish multiple times like I have. But again, as someone who didn't watch it live, it was so fun to watch four women running four abreast in the final moments of the race. And then Parrish Jepchirchir going, time to go. I'm not going to pass you on the right. I'm going to pass you on the left. Here we go. She accelerates so fast. It's like, well, that's not fair. Like, Asefa is like running still with marathon legs. If you look at from the side, she's like, I thought we were tired. This is unfair. It's so exciting and really just makes me excited to watch the women's Olympic race in a couple months.
Laura, how would you feel if you were in a pack like that and someone just said, see you later, and passed you on the right?
Yeah, I'd be like, wow, okay, didn't see that coming. But from the last few marathons I've watched, I think that's something that I now know to just come to expect. And just, I need to be ready to drop like a 440 within the last like 5 or 6 miles. So that's what I'm currently training for. That's why I'm like, I'm going to go back to the track because your girl's got to get back.
But Laura, I don't think it's the 440. I think you have to think more shorter. I think it's more like
800.
Like a 26-second 200. I think it's where you really have to dial in on.
Potato, potato, Matt. Okay, so I have to run a 26-second 200 or a 440 mile at like mile 21. Like either or, I have to get faster. That's what I'm learning from watching all these marathons. I'm like, man.
Laura's going to the track this summer with blocks. It's going to be great.
I'm going to start a 5K because I feel like that's, I mean, you just gotta get after it.
At the last aid stations, you have to put on your like your track spikes so you're ready. So you're ready for that last kick.
Like I have, I mean, if you're not dropping a 15:10 last 5K at the end of your marathon, are you really marathoning? Like I don't know. So that's the goal. If I could just run one 5K in a 15:10, I would feel like I was the greatest thing ever. So that's my goal. And then hopefully,
where do you fall? Have you heard this? Like I think it's like the Sidious guys have started talking about like there are people who think. They're like, the marathon, they should make it like 30 miles. I think Dez has said it. Like, the marathon should be 30 miles because the shoes have changed it so much. And I'm like, oh, man, like, the marathon's just getting fast and fun. And we're getting this done before lunch. And they're like, oh, we should stretch it out. Like, it should be.
But the marathon is a distance. That's like saying the mile should be 2 miles. But no, that's 30 miles is a 50K. And the marathon is 26.2. I don't know. What do you mean?
I think it would be interesting if you did the opposite. I think it'd be interesting if you made the marathon 20 miles, you know, because that's a completely different race. I feel like everything happens in like that last six. And like, that's where like all of this is really happening. Like everyone, for the most part, that like trains, especially at this like top level, can get to 20. So imagine if you made it 20 and then you just have like Boston, you had 35 women sprinting, trying to like do a 26, you know, second 200 at the end. Like it would change. That would change the race if you just shortened it, took out the last 10K.
How do we get that race on the schedule? And how do we get
the 20 miler
to sign up for
US 20 miler? You know, might as well just add it.
to the road circuit. Nerds nerding.
We do have. So in two recent big races, two people I talked to, Jess Tan, who was fourth at the Olympic trials for the women, and then CJ Albertson in at the Olympic trials as well, who was fifth, but 10 seconds off third place. They both would have appreciated it if that marathon was a little bit longer. You know, there's always somebody that's like, if it was a half a mile longer, I would have made the team kind of situation.
I will say, I think my favorite, going back to Chipchirchir real quick, before we talk about how long is a mile, another crazy question. is not only did I love, like, obviously her bursts of adrenaline slash speed was like nothing I've ever seen. It kind of reminded me like that ending was similar to how New York was playing out. But then New York, you like one, it was like everyone was like one fell off the gas, then one fell off, then one fell off, and all of a sudden there was one person left. This was so dramatic, but it reminded me of like the little kid, and part of this is because of her stature, being the shortest racer in the Final Four, was like the little kid getting pushed at recess and finally having enough of being bullied and being like, screw you all. And then like just start wailing out, like out of nowhere. Again, Chip Shear is an Olympic champion. She's one of the best runners of this generation. So I'm not saying that she isn't like that. She personally came out of nowhere, but like that this act of aggression, almost like it came out of nowhere, like the push to the left, then swinging around and not just taking the lead, but making it look like the other people had stopped running, essentially,
like
400 meters to go. It reminded me of like the, you know, like the youngest of the brood, like Lindsay. It would have been like if Sandy, like all of a sudden, was like, "Screw you, Lewis," and just started absolutely beating the hell out of him.
Which happens often. You know what? It also reminds me of the banana passing Peter at the Boston Marathon.
Just drop
Matt Seidel, Cohen for Vromka. Matt Seidel's coming.
Oh man,
Matthew Meyer, our friend, has said that his only driving force the final miles was to like stay away from the banana.
Yeah, it's funny what will motivate you to live a marathon. You're like, come on, I just can't let this happen.
I love it. I love it. Like if they, it adds some spice. Like if they were like, there's going to be a big strawberry running at like 3 hour pace, you'd be like,
Peter, are you going to do the reverse? Are you going to dress up as a fruit and then enter canyons this weekend to go after Matt Seidel as he tries to run the canyon
100K
and get the Western States golden ticket?
I think I'm ready to, really mix it up. I could really.
Here comes the raspberry going for Seidel.
Oh, man.
What's your favorite food that can pass you, right? Because Eugene is the pancake.
Yeah, like if a quesadilla came by, like, whoa.
Eugene has the pancake because they're sponsored by Krusty's. So, like, if you, is it the 5K that weekend? Like, 5K. You get past.
Yeah,
or
Saturday.
If you beat the pancake, you, like, get a prize. But, like, it's like. Basically, some like
you get a year's
Oregon track athlete running as the pancake.
I was gonna say, but how fast is a pancake?
I think he ran like a 15:37 or something.
Oh my god! Okay,
but if you don't run a 15:37 as a pancake, are you even 5K-ing? Is that what you said about the marathon?
Yeah.
There
you go. Yeah, I think it's a great to have some races within the races. It like, yeah, it really adds some intrigue. Like, you gotta go. I know it's arbitrary, but you have your breakfast on the line for the whole year.
And Megan Murray did this. Did she do it at the Donna where like how she starts in last? This is Megan Murray from Believe in the Run. You know, someone who's an excellent marathoner, like it's like 2:45 ish marathoner. So she starts last and however many people she passes, that's how much money gets donated to charity or something.
That's cool. I like that. I'm here for that.
She did it with, I think Puma sponsored that. And she started in the very back of the half marathon, and I think she ended up, I could be off by a couple minutes. I think she ended up running like 1:23 that day or something like that. And so, I mean, think about how many people she probably passed. And I think they probably donated that back to the Donna Foundation. So yeah, that was cool. That was like relatively new after Megan, like just began her tear, you know, like Megan broke 3 and then she just like was on a tear and never looked back.
I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to start in first at Boston and they're going to donate however many people pass me. Like, we donated $78,000 to the Jimmy Fund.
Well, you get to see a lot of people. I'm trying to like find some silver linings last week. Like I got to say hello to a lot of men as they moved on by. Like, hey, I haven't seen you in a bit.
Oh, I love it. You got to search for those wins. You know, there's always wins in there, no matter the day you have. But sometimes you like really have to search for them. You're like, I know they're in there.
You're just going to spend your whole race with a few guys? No. See people.
Yeah. Speaking of people on the course, did anyone else get duped by the Tommy Runs live tracker on the London Marathon? So like there is a on the live tracker, you can actually enter Tommy Runs. and not his real name, Thomas Bailey. It was the Tommy Runs. I was like, oh, look at this, is Greg. Follow him. Like, this is kind of cool how they, like, he's so known now that his, like, stage name essentially gets, like, put in as, like, the official name on the tracker.
But it's but then, like, to make it.
But it never moved. Like, it didn't activate. So all of a sudden I thought he didn't run. So I was like, is something wrong with Tommy? Then I got completely thrown off. And then Mike didn't have, like, his name because he, like, bought a bib off someone else. So, like, he wasn't in the tracker either. Confusing. I was so confused all morning. Peter, you slept through all this. You got to rehash it later.
I slept through all this.
In real time, I was very confused.
Maybe we can share this image with the Relay community. But I woke up early and Googled London Marathon results. And then the website popped up. And then it scrolled from, like, the winners of the running race to the winners of the wheelchair race. And then the next image was just Marcus Brown finishing the race. There was just a picture of him and said, like, with a link to, like, go to results. And I'm like, how did they know? Like, we are living in the future. He's just such a celebrity in London. They're like, well, we got to have the mayor on the cover of this, this experience. And so it seemed like he ran a good race. I feel like we're going to try to get, we're trying to coordinate getting the Londoners on a call later this week. I'd love to hear about the experience. It seemed like a fun morning.
So if you would have put in Thomas Bailey, the tracker would have worked, right?
Right. But I was just confused that Tommy Runs was actually in the tracker to begin with. Like, that was actually an option.
Are there two of them?
If this is an option, then it must be right. Hmm. And then it just wasn't populating. And I thought he was, like, got hurt or something.
Oh, see, when I searched his results, Tommy Runs worked it. To show his result, he ran 301, right? If that's the correct guy,
man, maybe can you block right someone one. On the tracker? Did he block me?
Matt, this is, I don't know what to tell you, but
I don't want that Matt Chittum guy.
I didn't want to be able to bring that up. But
he thought you might stalk him out on the course, so he's like, nope, no real time.
I don't want him knowing.
He's got to slowly, he's got to hide from all of his fans. It's too many of us.
I know.
Costumes. So I was trying to be clever and I was like, let's look up the famous people that ran London and Boston. And the list is not very long, but the host of The Masked Singer, Joel Dommett. I don't know him, but anyway, I've seen The Masked Singer. I've watched it with my kids. It's fun. He ran London in a piranha suit, dressed up as a piranha, and it weighs eight kilograms. Piranha? Am I saying that wrong?
Oh.
Like, the animal?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant piranha, like that yoga brand. I was like, that seems comfortable.
Oh. I thought you meant fish. I was like, he's in a piranha suit.
And it had a big head, like a full suit. And the head was like bobbling around the whole time.
No.
And 8 kilograms. How many pounds is that?
How long was he out there?
So like 13 pounds.
8 kilograms on his head? Oh.
Like the whole suit. Weighed that much. It took him 5 hours and 19 minutes. But I mean, if you think about wearing, it was like one of those huge costumes.
No.
So what if you would have got passed by him, Peter?
See, Peter?
I would have found another gear. I would have found, that would have been a bridge too far. No, my psoas was not going to respond to anything, but I mean, it would have hurt more my inside.
But
Peter would have pulled off his mask and be like, just kidding, I'm Matt Chittum.
Yeah, I have a Matt Chittum mask in case
it's like Mission Impossible. Yeah.
There's like the so only good. Other two famous people, Luther actor Ruth Wilson, don't know who that is, but she ran a 4:54. Doctor Who actor Christopher Eccleston ran 5:21. So if you're fans of either of those shows, and then our friend Matt James, who was on The Bachelor, who I interviewed after the New York City Marathon 2 years ago. He PR'd and ran 3 hours and like 20 seconds or something like that. And
come on.
Right? On a mission to break 3 hours.
How long can you just be a former Bachelor member? Well, he seems like a good guy, but like, what's he do?
He like eats food at restaurants and like takes videos of him and his girls.
I do that too. Hang on.
Holy cow. I need to update my LinkedIn.
I also have Microsoft Word skills.
I think he works with Lululemon. I know that. And I know that they do like food testing at restaurants and stuff like that. And like share reviews, I'm sure, in some sort of like content creator way. But
when kids are like, why can't I be, What do you mean? I don't want to be an astronaut. That seems really hard. I want to be this guy. He's got a big smile and he eats food. And you're like,
and he works out all the time. That's it.
It does seem.
TV show that skyrocketed him, and now he can do those things, and everyone doesn't. No one questions it. They're like, yeah. Like Lindsay's like, yeah. He like eats food. I don't know what you want me to say.
This is the new thing, right? Like when we were little, it's like, you listen, you can't play video games the rest of your life. I'm like, oh, that's not true anymore. Well, maybe this is the new thing.
There are gamers making millions. You can't do that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Dad, so now I just stream myself playing video games. Bingo.
And I scream into the camera so that parents all over the world feel like they're going to lose their minds when their kids watch it.
Uh-oh. Incoming, Lindsay Hine YouTube rant. Here it comes.
We should not be throwing stones in a glass house. It's like, instead of just talking about running, we record ourselves talking about running, and it's totally different.
Peter, it would only be weird if I was running while recording about running about something I watched while in the running community. Like remember the first Carrie Tolleson's podcast?
Yeah,
she did them all on the run, but it was before microphone technology was a lot better. It was hard.
Lots of heavy breathing.
The guests had a hard time. Well, also Carrie had just run in the Olympics. It was really setting the guests up for failure. It's like, here's this mic that doesn't work, and I'm also going to run you to death.
Did you follow that running interview Instagram?
I just found this person. Who is she? Because she interviews really famous people. Who is this woman?
She started a year ago. She's a super hottie online. I'll just lead with the end. I find it clarifying. Sorry. I find it clarifying to be like, why is this so successful? Does it hurt that the host is like a smoke show? Like, shoot me. But she does these great interviews, and she's like sort of parlayed it from one famous person to the next. And they're like, she's like, will you come on a run with me? And they're like, I don't really run. She's like, we could run a mile. What was it? She was like David Guetta the other day. She did one, and he was so thoughtful. Yeah. Like, and
how does she the best get part them, is though?
His bodyguards are like huffing it right behind her.
Does she just like slide into their DMs? Like, how is she getting these people?
Right. Like,
that's a good question.
I mean, these people.
What am I?
We
not
need someone making? In New York to tell us. Like, I'm sure there's some back channel publicity connections because she just walks up like, oh, hey, how's it going?
She knows people.
Bobby Flay, how are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, she knows a lot of people.
He's the one that eats food too. Look at that. What's the link?
Yo, eats food. There we go.
Wait, so Peter, I feel like we need to protect you. I feel like I don't want you to get canceled for saying she's a hottie or a smoke show. I just want to make sure that I want to protect you, my friend.
Do you think the internet's going to cancel me for telling a woman she's very attractive?
I don't know. I feel like we have to be careful.
I think my wife will be able to handle it. I think everyone can grow up. And
if it's Peter's wife can handle it,
wait for this transition. Wait for this transition. It's like the threads I'm seeing about what the lyrics in Taylor Swift's new songs are actually about.
Wait a second.
Whoa.
Wait a second. I just posted on Threads my favorite song is Guilty as Sin. And then I went and read the lyrics and I was like, okay, I feel like people might take this the wrong way. I don't know. But I do love the song. It's so good.
And I love that song. In fact, I love the entire album. I'd say it's probably right now one of my favorite Taylor Swift albums based off first listen through.
So it's interesting because I saw someone tweet like, this is not an album that has any one song that's like, this is going to be the hit. And people are like, well, isn't that lovely? She can do that because it doesn't matter. And that they'll all be hits to all of us because we love her music. But yeah, there's some spicy lyrics.
Yeah, she didn't hold back. But I think that's what I love about it is to me, it doesn't listen so much like a pop album. I feel like listening to it, it's like you're listening to like journal entries. Like I feel like it's a very raw, like vulnerable, emotional like album for her. And it was just like very personal in like all of these different ways as far as like what her life has kind of been like or looked like since everything happened with Joe and just all the way through like eras and just all the shit that's kind of like gone off and on for all these years. She like really opens up about it in all of these different aspects. And so I'm here for it. I love it.
I mean, what if he's written mine on my upper thigh only in my mind? Like, I'm reading these lyrics and I'm like, okay, maybe I should take that thread down. I don't know.
Lindsay thought this was like a workout album, and now she's like, wait a second, what kind of workout are we talking about?
Hey, as long as you're burning calories, man.
But listen, I guess my thought is, like, whatever. Some of the crap. I mean, my kids listen to, like, Ed Sheeran, and you listen to some of those lyrics, and you're like, oh, okay. But I'm like, man, some of these lyrics for, like, a 12-year-old girl to be listening to, they deep, you know? I don't know. What do you think? Matt, you have a daughter. What do you think?
Well, my daughter has the album. She actually got the record, and I'm using that word literally. We got her a record album.
How old is she?
I'm sorry, a record player for Christmas. So she actually has the new album for Taylor Swift, and she has four different Taylor albums on record. So she's been listening to that.
I love that.
And she's into it for sure. She hasn't said anything in my presence that led me to believe like, wow. I don't know if she's listening to Taylor Swift or watching YouTube without consent. But,
she didn't hear those lyrics Lindsay just did. She's not singing those in your presence.
Right. But at the same time, you listen to any like pop radio station, you're like, again, when you think back to like middle school, like the songs that we would sing, you're looking back on them now, you're like, wow, this was unbelievably explicit. How did I not know at the time?
Britney Spears Toxic. I mean, you know, like that's who I grew up with was like Britney, you know? And you like go back and listen to some of that and you're like, yeah.
How about Genuine Pony? I mean, did we not dance to that in seventh grade dances? Like, there's
Genuine was everywhere. Yeah, exactly.
Matt, you probably remember, like, we were the contemporary where it's been happening for ages, but like Tipper Gore being like, these rap albums are going to corrupt the minds of our youth. And you're like,
they did, Peter. Oh, yeah. You came on a podcast as a 4-year-old man and called a woman a smoke show. It did corrupt. Look at you now.
Damn it.
Well, you know. Wow.
Corrupt.
But I will say this. I mean, going back, like, I remember at the time being like, yeah, Jodeci's a little weird, but nothing crazy. Like, no, their songs were unbelievably explicit. Then they showed up to the MTV Music Video Awards wearing nothing but diapers and went on stage. So, like, is it really a whole lot different? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I remember in high school, my dad had to like move my car in the driveway, and I had the Eminem show like blaring, and he was like, oh, I can't believe you are putting that music into your ears. And that was like my favorite album.
So, I've had like the opposite happen now.
We
like,
were doing it too.
With stupid Spotify autoplay. Mm. I start my car up and all of a sudden like, a song I don't want my kids to hear is blasting in my car.
Yeah. Like, and sometimes that's happening.
Why are you doing this to me?
But sometimes that's happening and my kids will say, did they just say this? And I'll be like, yeah, they did. And I'll be like, it's their art though. That's like different than like
they're just expressing themselves.
Calling someone a name. Wait, Matt, how old is your daughter?
She's 11. She's going to turn 12 soon.
Okay.
So she's in sixth grade.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that she'd be listening to the album. I mean,
okay. She knows all the words of all the other albums.
Yeah. Is this the most provocative album yet?
I don't know.
It's such a, this is a, before we started recording, I was saying to Laura, like, even commenting on this album feels like dangerous territory. I said, I suggested like an idea to my wife about the album and I almost got blown out of the house.
Is she is she into it?
I think she likes it. I mean, you know, people were coming up with hot takes about the album by like noon on Friday. And you're like, I just feel like it's a long album. We haven't even had that much time to hear it. For those of you listening and not watching, Laura is wearing an Eras Tour t-shirt.
I'm wearing an Eras Tour shirt because, you know.
So, yeah, it is a religious week.
It was. That's like basically all day Friday. I didn't even run. Evan, if you're listening, I didn't run on Friday because I was just listening to the album, just like
cycling. And you can't run to it.
No, okay. I didn't think that, Lindsay, but I will say yesterday I waited until like 2 p.m. to do my run. Mm. And I was like, I'm going to listen to it and just like see how I feel running. No, it was, I had a very like
therapeutic
running experience to the album.
Okay.
But I also think like for me, the album like hits different. Like, just for like where I am in my life and like what I have recently gone through in my personal life, I feel like it's therapeutic for me to run to that. And it was kind of like a cleanse in a way. So like, no, it's not like a pump up, like you know, get you going album, but I did listen to it for my 9 miles yesterday. And I was like, that was one of the best runs that I've had in a long time, as far as like how I felt. So it was weird.
Okay. Yeah. Let us know in the comments if it works for you, if you're listening to this. I'd love to hear like a yay or nay.
What's the song though that she talks about? I'm going to smash up your car or marry you. Do you know what?
No, I'm going to smash your bike. I'll either be your wife or I'm going to smash up your bike.
Yeah, I like that one. What's that
Same.
Called?
Okay. I was like, yeah.
I know.
Relatable.
Yeah.
So.
When I said that on my Instagram that I didn't like the album so much and then I was being like, I was in a mood. I was in a Tommy mood, you know, when Tommy was pissed the other day. I was in a grumpy mood. I don't know that it was the album so much as I waited too long to run. I ate too big of a lunch and I was just like, and so then I was pissed. And so then I was like, Lindsay, practice what you preach and just move your body. So I ran 2 miles and I walked a mile and called it good.
There you go.
Isn't it the worst though when you're like, I just need to move my body, but you have eaten way too much and you're like, now I feel like throwing up. Like, congrats. Yes. Like mission accomplished. Like, no.
It felt terrible.
Wait, can we talk about the shot heard around the world? Matt Chittum jumping on Instagram and being like, I am in marathon mode. Let's go.
Yes. Woo! What are you running, Matt?
This is not what I expected to be talking about. You have me talking about Kenesi Vekele set the Masters marathon record. We're talking about Matt Chittum's marathon build.
You know what?
What is going on?
Vekele said he wasn't that impressed with his own run. Let's get back to you. He said, I want to hear about the Chittum shot.
Matt, it feels good to talk about your own life. You know, you ask people questions all day, every day, same as I. It feels good to share your stuff too. So share your stuff.
Wait, Matt, I will go. I want to go to Vekele for 1 second. They interviewed him. They were like, what'd you think? And he's like, oh, I was a little disappointed. I thought I could have done better. And they're like, do you think at 41 years old, you could win a race like this? He's like, realistically, no, probably not. So like, it was like a very interesting.
He finished second. Where's the gray area he's looking for?
Yeah, apparently he could have had a slightly better build up or like a little more fitness, but he's like, I'm not beating that guy. Like, nope, I've been there. So Matt, just so you know, it's okay. Even the best of all time, they set realistic expectations for themselves. Talk us through your thought process. When you're like, it's a little like, here we go. I'm going to write an essay and put it out for the world. I'm going to put a reel out that says, I'm back on the horse.
Back on the horse, baby. Yeah. Well, I had a really crappy winter. It's like one of the worst winters of my life.
Sorry.
Personally, family-wise, stuff like that. So it was really not an enjoyable experience. I also got sick, which I think was related to it. I was sick for like 6 weeks. Mm. Went on like antibiotics twice. And, whole gang of stuff. But what preceded that was like, I was going to run a 50K and my training sucked. I knew I wasn't going to be able to complete it. So I just like bailed on it. So, and then I just, again, people listen to my running experience. I'm not like, I just haven't been like, I haven't been a very good runner my whole life. So like, I've had like some highs and lows, but all kind of stayed within like a pretty narrow band of like not very successful. So ultimately, I just still have a lot of regrets about certain races and I really want to get back into it and I'm feeling healthy. So I'm like, you know what? Now's the time and I have enough time to get ready. So I'm going to do a fall marathon. I'm not sure which one, maybe something local. So I'm not going to travel for it. So I
well, doesn't it depend on what the signing bonus you receive is? Like you got to shop around.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why I can't announce it today.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Laura knows the deal.
Laura will give you some pointers.
Yeah. You have to give hints. You know, I'm still negotiating with the elite coordinators.
All you know he can say is he's going to do a fall, Peter. That's all he can say.
Okay, that's the rule. Okay.
There's a gentleman with a bald head who keeps contacting me from the Northeast about getting a really big signing bonus.
Sam's in your DMs.
Yeah. I'm either going to be running Ocean State or Bay State. So Bay State's one in Massachusetts and Lowell, Mass., which is like an incredibly fast marathon. They don't have any elites that run, but they like it's a big Boston feeder race.
When
Boston
is it?
Marathon.
Cool.
So they're both in October. Ocean State, I've run that before. It's hilly. I think it's like 1,100 feet of elevation gain. So it's kind of like the LA Marathon in terms of like hilliness.
No, run the fast one, Matt.
Well, I kind of like the Ocean State because I have run it before and it's close to my house, which I like running on the course I'm going to train on the course that I run on. The other one's like so fast. Like, so like the winner will run like 225 or something. right? Which is very good, but obviously not like an elite runner, right? Mm-hmm. From a men's perspective.
Right.
But like, there's going to be like 300 people who break 3 hours. Like,
really?
It's an incredibly dense field.
Why don't I know about this race? I'm like looking it up.
It's just
should
like
I
a local, it? Like, it's a local Boston qualifier. Kind of like how like Eugene is for a lot of people out west. Mm-hmm. Like how CIM is for people who want to get certain times. Like, that's how Bay State is in New
October
England.
October 20th.
Yeah.
Probably one of those two. I'm guessing, but we'll see.
Matt, when we were at the Olympic trials, you were abstaining from alcohol and you were working on getting healthier in that regard. Are you still abstaining?
I am not, but my relationship with alcohol was pretty simple. Like, I never got drunk, but I was basically drinking like every day. So like, I was kind of like every morning I have like one or two cups of coffee. Every night I have like one or two glasses of wine. It just became a habit. Yeah. So like I didn't really talk about this a lot on the podcast or anything, but I was kind of like, all right, well, I was kind of worried. Like, I've been doing this for like a decade. Like, is this gone beyond habit?
Yeah.
Let's find out. So it wasn't anything beyond that. So it was just like what I just gotten used to, and that was fine. So I really didn't drink for like 2 months, which was great. But like, it wasn't hard. There wasn't any like
that's great
withdrawal symptoms. It really didn't matter either way. So I'm not abstaining anymore. I don't have the same like, hey, every night I do this, but so I think it's, you know, it's at this point it is back in my life, but it's very like casual.
Did you feel better though? I'm just thinking like in regards to like now you want to ramp up and train for a marathon.
It didn't have any effect.
Okay, well, I mean, that's good to know though. That's good that you know that.
It was good. It gave me peace of mind because I was worried.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, I love that. I mean, it would be hard for me to not drink any alcohol for 2 months. That would be a challenge.
Yeah, so that's what I was worried. I was
like a challenge you want to take on.
Well, I was like, that thing, if it's a challenge, what does that say about it? Like, where am I if it is a challenge? So I was kind of worried, like, all right, am I going to be all right? And like, I was fine. So I'm happy about that. But I am shifting things a little bit. So for me, an issue is I've been always kind of like a night owl, as Peter knows. And so like, I'm changing things up. I'm going to bed way earlier, but I'm also getting up earlier. So in an effort to like make sure that I'm maximizing my day, I'm now waking up at 4:15 so I can get my run in before my kids.
When you said earlier, I was like, okay, like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Like, he's like 4:15. I'm up out the door. Like, what?
Bam.
Peter is very concerned about your sleep, Matt.
So
I like how you said like that. There was a little innuendo there. You're like, I stay up late. You know, Peter knows.
What does Peter know?
Corrupted.
Peter,
like Peter. Corrupted.
Peter is too much.
Oh, come on.
So like, no. So in my 20s, that's what I did. I always woke up super early and I got my run in before I went to work. And with kids, it's hard because like my wife's a teacher, so she's at the door by 7:15. So like when she gets up, she's getting ready for school, just like my kids are. But like, you know, she's a teacher. She has to like, she's getting all of her stuff ready, all that stuff. So like, I take care of the kids in the morning. So like, I need to be ready to go at 6 o'clock to assist them with all their stuff. So like, it's like, I need to get back by 6, which made running in the morning pretty difficult, especially as the miles ramp up. So, but at this point, so I'm heading out the door at 4:15, inspired by one of my runners that I coach who does the same thing, who's a beast. I think he's going to run 2:45 at the Nashville Marathon in a week. So, and he's a master's runner too. And he's the man. So I was like, all right, if Kevin can do it, I used to do this. Why can't I do it? So he inspired me. So I'm out the door by 4:45, starting. You know, so I'm back by 6.
When are you going to bed, though?
Between 9 and 10.
11, 12, 1, 2, 3. Sit, Matt, that's not enough hours. 6.5 is not enough.
That's great for me.
Oh, my gosh. So my thing with that is like, well, A, that is a really early with like the bathroom situation. Like that's hard to run that early, I feel like. But also I feel like if I can get up that early like twice a week, but if I go more than that, getting up that early, my body is like, hold on, sister. Like this is too much. So you're doing that like 5 days a week?
I'm going to do it 7 actually. Just so I want to get the habit down. Because like if I do twice a week, I'm not going to be able to do it. I need to do it. So like today's a great example. Today was my off day, but I woke up that time anyway and went and lifted so I can ingrain the habit.
Swole. I love Swole, Matt.
Atomic habits.
Awesome.
Atomic habits. So if you're running at 4:15. Or you're getting up at 4:15.
I'm getting up at 4:15 to run at 4:45.
And in that 30 minutes, you have coffee and get your bathroom in and you're good to be out the door.
Yes, but also, fun fact, here in Coventry, Rhode Island, they put, in, once baseball starts, they put porta potties at every baseball field.
Mm. Okay, so you have a video.
Yes.
So okay. There you go. Also, this is the other tidbit. On my run, right on the bike path, is a Planet Fitness. So I also registered for Planet Fitness, which also opens up at 5. So if I need to, a little detour into the Planet Fitness, and then a quick right back out.
Look at you. You have really planned all of this out. I'm very excited.
I'm really proud of you. I'm getting feedback from Glenn in the other room. He says, Matt has adult responsibilities. Leave him alone.
He has a real life. He needs to fit things in. I love this.
I'm so happy for you. I hope that it sticks. How can we support you to make it stick?
I will not get up at 4:15.
Shame me whenever possible. I'm sorry, what was that, Lauren?
I won't get up at 4:15 with you. Like, I won't do one of those where, like, we're doing it in spirit together. I won't be doing that.
That's 2:15 your time?
No, your girl will be asleep. But I will be cheering you on. And yeah, do check-ins. And my question for you is, do you have a coach? Are you coaching yourself? How are you?
I do have a coach.
Okay.
So I've been lucky enough. I've worked with some really fun and great coaches. So Caitlin Gray Goodman was my coach for a while.
Because
she lived in Rhode Island. So she was in Providence. It was really fun. Like every month she would meet with all of her athletes at like the Starbucks near Brown University. So like every 20 minutes, it was like someone had like their appointment. Smart. So she would just like post up for like 3 hours. And we'd all just kind of come through. That was fun. And then James McCurdy was my coach for a while. And James is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So like, we're like, he's also like, am a coach for McCurdy train. So after a while I was like, all right, this is a little too like embedded in my life. Like, so I'm like, all right, like, I think it's, and he agreed. It's like, all right, it's probably time for a change. So now my coach, and has been my coach now for 3 years or almost 3 years now, is David Roach from Somewhere Called Play.
I know David. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's fun. So,
but really, it goes out to Peter, and who's been giving him a hard time for over a year. Like, let's get fit.
Peter wants me to become some sort of hybrid of Mario Fraioli and Nick Bear. Evidently, a master's runner who can smash the mile and 800 pound deadlifts is what Peter wants most out of me.
I want Matt to, I want Matt to be a hybrid athlete. I think Matt has like untapped swole potential to be really be chucking around dumbbells. So I don't really know what the core goal of those guys is. Like, if you're a BPN athlete, it seems as much to be about having enormous biceps as it does to be run fast. But hey, like, it's all fits under, you know, living a fun life. So
you guys remember when Ryan Hall did that? Well, he did a lot of things, but when he did his like deadlift 500 and then go out immediately and run a 5 minute mile.
But this is wonderful. This is like, I fucking love it because he set a goal to lift 500 pounds and break the 5 minute mile and he failed. Yeah. He's just like, I couldn't quite do it. But the video of him trying is actual.
Something though, like, he still ran really fast.
He ran really close. No, he came really close. But what's beautiful about it is like, he actually set a goal and he actually tried to do it and he documented himself. And so it's helped me, because you see a lot of these influencers, they move the puck around and they're like, look, I'm lifting and I'm going and here we are. And you're like, you didn't set a goal. Like, that was just a highlight reel of like you flexing for the camera. So I just love how Ryan, like, true to form, is like, here's a really big challenge, I'm gonna do it. Other people are like, I'm gonna throw up a bunch of weight and run a mile sometime, and you're like, get out of
I'm
here
gonna do
get
both.
Out of here.
Yeah, and I'm gonna start documenting it too. So this is the other thing, inspired by our friends Tommy and those guys. I want to start documenting it. What put me over the edge on that, because I've been so embarrassed of my own athletic shortcomings for a long time that I've always hid. Like, if anyone's looking at my Instagram over the last year and a half, I have almost not talked about my running at all. Like, zero. And I was just so embarrassed by it. So, but what was kind of pushed me over the edge, again, this is not a comparison to me at all, but I did think it was interesting, was like, look, it was like this meme, was like, not me, it was a picture of, it was Jeff Bezos, and he was like, when he started Amazon.com, and it's like, him just had this like wonky office, and literally it spray painted Amazon.com like on the wall, like in blue paint. And like, wasn't even well done. It was like dripping. It's like, this is a piece of crap, right? And it was like, wouldn't it be cool if he had like documented the journey from that point, as opposed to not later when he was really successful, right? Like, I would like, how great would it have been to look back and see like if Tommy had documented his journey, like starting 2 years before he did. Right. Like, someone's like, all right, like, again, who knows where I'm going to end up? It might be nowhere. But like, I want to start documenting now, because what if it turns out really cool? It'd be nice to look back. So anyway.
Yeah, that's cool, Matt. And it's, I feel like it's really cool when you get kind of the glimpse into like people's journeys of like where they started and kind of like the process that it was to like where they are now. Like, I think that's really cool to like be able to share that. Because I always find that's like my favorite kind of content. So
it makes me sad that you are embarrassed, because you don't need to be. I feel like we have this world of people documenting all this glamorous workouts and races and doing all these marathons. And it's like, that's not necessarily real life. We're all going through hard stuff, you know, here and there. And I mean, nobody knows how hard your year really was, except for some of your really close friends. And like, I think that you're showing people like real life, you know? So hugs.
I appreciate you saying that. So thank you for saying that, Lindsay. I think there are some races that like still like have left scars on me, and we've all been there. So I'm not going to act like I'm like some like unique snowflake here. By snowflake, I mean like in the unique sense of the word, not like the super sensitive sense of the word, which I also am one of those. But I will say that. I will say like the Eugene Marathon was like a complete disaster. Like, I walked off the course after like 2 miles, essentially, right? My first 50K, disaster. I walked like the last like 3 hours, right? Stuff like that. You're like, oh my God, like, I documented this whole thing and it sucked, right? So you're like, oh, I don't want to do that ever again. And after a while, like, I can just kind of keep living in that world. But like, in the end, like, I feel just as much shame for how I handled that situation as opposed to the situation itself. So like, I can't change the race, but I can change how I handle it. So I think that's going to be the part that I'm hopefully going to change.
Does set like an expectation of engagement on your part, like sustained engagement. I don't know if anyone recalls, Lindsay, 4 years ago, there was the Breaking 40 series that Matt put together where he was going to race a 10K as he was turning 40. And I remember messaging you, Matt, and being like, I'm actually invested in this progress, because unlike a lot of like sports stories where you're like, there's this like fine margin, you're like, who will win of this? I'm like, when you would post a new update of Breaking 40, I was like, it could go up, it could go down. There could have been a breakthrough or a setback. Like, it was, the amplitude was wide and it was exciting. You were doing diets, sports psych, you were working with James at the time around like your training. So it's a lot all at once. And I was like, man, this would be tough to sustain. And ultimately you were like, okay, I need to like taper off a little bit. So hopefully more sustainable.
Yeah. I hurt my knee. And it was like, oh, well. Yeah. And then actually once I came back from that, that's when I started working with David. But I will say, I have to go pick up my son at school. So I gotta go.
I was looking for like a heartfelt. Like,
I'm documenting my life, Peter. I'm documenting.
This is part of it.
It's real life. I have adult responsibilities.
As you're stepping away from the mic, you're like, listen, okay.
Glenn Hine is here. He's telling me, Matt, you have adult responsibilities. It's 2:55. You got to go get your son.
All right. Keep it real. At CIM this past year, Mike Capuzzi, Matt Chittum, and I were sitting around, and Mike's talking about like all the training theories that he's been testing on. He recently hired a coach, but this was pre-hiring a coach. He just kept messing, like trying things. And Matt was like, I don't think I could. And I just like cut him off. I was like, until you start sleeping 6 hours a night, like, we are not talking about like what you can and can't do, because it's just like a non-starter. Like, I don't put gasoline in the tank, but I'm hoping to, you know, drive cross country. And you're like, not going to happen. It's fun to have him on board.
So now he's sleeping 6 hours and 10 minutes every night.
Yeah, we'll see.
You gotta start somewhere. Change sometimes has to be, it's small, you know, so you can kind of like sustain and build it. But I think it's really cool what Matt's doing. I think it's like really brave to kind of like put, it's hard to put yourself back out there. Like when he was like, you know, he's talking about coming off these tough races and just kind of like the spiral that that can lead you down. And then the things you start believing is truth. And so I think it's really brave to like take that step back and be like, no, like I'm going to recommit to this and I'm going to make these changes like in running and out to like really like feel like I can commit and go after a goal. So yeah, I think that's really cool. I thought that was great that he shared that with us.
Yeah.
Today. It's inspiring.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
At dinner on Friday night in Boston, I got invited to a dinner with Lindsay and some of her girlfriends. By the way, Lindsay, I mentioned this last night to some friends we were having dinner with, and Julia was like, I didn't hear about that. You and a bunch of ladies went out to dinner.
I got to meet Julia.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll make it happen. And somewhere at dinner, Lindsay was like, you know, I'm thinking about getting my running going again. Maybe I would hire Peter. And so then I was like crowdsourcing the ladies to tell me like, what type of psychology do you think we would like employ to like motivate, you know, how would you think, Lindsay, what do you think Matt needs? What do you think you need? I don't think you guys are different athletes.
Well, yeah. I mean, when Matt was talking about like 7 days a week,
yeah,
I don't operate like that. I need
that's a lot.
That's what we were talking about. Like, I need flexibility. I need to be able to move things around. I do like the idea of having like 3 set days where like I know for sure I'm doing this kind of thing. Whether that's like this is for sure a run day, not necessarily the workout day. But like I mean the thought of like this is what I do every day at 4:15, that kind of makes me feel a little bit crazy. And tired. Like, I feel like I would get sick and hurt if I tried to go on that little sleep. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's something about putting yourself out there, the vulnerability of that, that's like, it makes the goal more exciting. Mm-hmm. And when Matt was talking about like the shame of his, you know, like races in the past, I was thinking about this, like, this is kind of off topic, but I have this talk I'm giving next week at the Indy Monument or Indy 500 Festival Mini Marathon. And I'm talking about like the mental side of things, like finishing your race without regrets. And I have like all these stories I'm putting into the talk, but as I'm working at it, I'm like, I'm having that imposter syndrome. Like, who am I to stand on this stage and like speak on this? And I think that's similar to like what Matt was saying, like I'm in the running industry, I host these podcasts, I'm in the space, but like he feels like he needs to like show up for these marathons or whatever it is, you know. I think that most of us feel that way in some fashion. How do we not feel that way though? Like, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel like an imposter standing up on the stage. I want to be like, I own this. I know what I'm doing, you know.
You look at Laura's face right now, she's like, have you tried being motherfucking Lauren Thweet and just owning it?
No, I agree with you, Lindsay. I think like no matter who you are and like what level you're doing any of this at, like we all face that. And I think a lot of that is just kind of like the world we live in and like the access we have to all of this information and what we do with that and how we internalize that, I think affects all of us. Like I have that, you know, I have that now. I'm going through kind of a rough patch in my career and like I just kind of feel burned out and I'm watching these marathons and I'm just like in awe of like where we are at in the sport. But at the same time, I'm like looking at myself being like, can I do that? I haven't done that in a long time. And so I'm kind of doing that myself. So I think it's normal and it's human. And I think there's no one answer with like how you fix or solve that. But I think just knowing that you're not the only one that feels that way in like the career and like, you know, what you're doing, like we all have that and we all battle that. But I think it's just like, that's when you take a step back and you kind of, you know, you have, you know, your support circle and you have all these people being like, you can do, like, you just have to like figure out how to like reset and like kind of find that belief in yourself and just like own who you are and own what you do and like realize like what you bring to the table. But it's not easy. But again, it's just taking that step back when you start to feel the spiral happening of like, who am I to talk on this? It's like, no, you're Lindsay freaking Hine. Like you host incredible podcasts and you're in the sport and you're knowledgeable and like your experience in the sport and how you approach it is so relatable to so many people. So it's just remembering that your experience, like the good, the bad, all the in between, like sharing that and speaking on it is like very empowering for a lot of people. And so it's just kind of remembering like your strengths and like what you actually do bring to the table. So that's me telling you that you're going to crush this talk, and to own who you are, because you're incredible and you give so much to the sport. And like you affect so many people in like a very positive way. So it's just like, they wouldn't have asked you to give this talk if they didn't think that. Right. So it's like remembering that too. Like people believe in you.
I pitched myself, Laura. I pitched myself.
Well, still
accepted.
Hey, but that's awesome. You pitched yourself because you like obviously know like what you bring to the table. So it's remembering that, remembering pitching Lindsay, being like, no, I'm qualified for this. I'm gonna crush this.
Yeah, when I think about all the people, the world leading runners that you have delved into their psychology, and you know, let me see, tell me more about that. You know a lot. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I have a couple stories of people I've interviewed that I'll like parlay into. I'm working on my slides. Like I'm, you know, I'm all in on this talk. Laura, though, when you are saying all that, like, what are you doing? Like, how do you,
what would you say you
this?
Do here?
Speaking of tables, what do you bring?
What do you bring to the table? No, just like, that's a really hard place to be in. And I'm like, how do you approach this? Like, I know you've been training really hard and you've got your new group and everything, but like, how are you staying positive? Maybe you're not always staying positive, but like, how are you deciding like what's next and how do I stay all in?
Great questions. I don't have answers to a lot of those questions right now. Yeah, I think I'm just like really, I think the last few years have been really hard. And I just feel as though I haven't really put together a performance that like I truly believe I'm capable of. And I'm kind of like, but why? Like what, where are the missing pieces? And so I think after the trials, granted, like that outcome was largely out of my control. And I wouldn't have changed anything that I did leading into how I trained and prepared for it. But to still have that fall apart on top of two previous marathons that like weren't at my best. I think like coming off the trials initially, I was like, really like, let's just get back out there. Like I'm motivated. I know that like I'm fit. Like I just want to keep going. But then I started having some physical repercussions from having COVID and I just like wasn't recovering and we had to like dial back intensity. So I didn't really do a whole lot before Shamrock Shuffle. And so I just jumped into that. And like, that was freeing as far as like, I kind of like Evan gave me a race plan and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go out as hard as possible and just see what happens, because I just felt like it's been a long time since I've raced confidently. And since I stood on a start line and looked around and be like, and like to feel like I'm one of the best ones here, like I'm going to make you work to beat me. Like it's been so long since I think I've truly felt that way. That it was just kind of fun to be like, it's an 8K, like I'll probably blow up at 5K. And I did. But then you're like, well, I only have 3K left. Like the marathoner mindset, like, ah, you can grind for 3K. Yeah. Like I'm not going to implode that bad. So I got fifth and like, I was pissed that I got fifth, but like just the experience of like how I felt racing was just so different from like where I've been. So I'm trying to figure out how to get more of that back, because I feel like that is definitely one of the pieces missing. And I kind of have an answer to that now, but I'm like, how do I get that back? So I'm trying to figure that out. So I'm all over the place with answers to that. But
something I'm unpacking that I think you might relate to, because I think of you as like a marathoner's marathoner. And I think that's how I thought about myself at times, was that years ago when I was racing at my best, I actually like looked forward to all 26 miles. I was like, yes, like I'm going to enforce my will on all of these miles and I'm going to break people over the final miles. And I think over the last couple of years, you know, life up and down, pandemic, all this stuff. I, if I'm really truthful, I looked at my preparation, which hasn't been ideal a couple of times, but like it's easy to take like a blurry view of like, well, I've run a bunch of running and I'll get through it. And it's like, marathoner's like, sorry. Thank you for that insufficient answer. So let's just say I had like a lot of time to think about myself out there belly aching to myself during the Boston Marathon. And I was like, you are not ready for this. You were not looking forward or prepared for these miles. And I think it's about preparation, not the training, but then it's about like the mindset related to the training and like how a marathoner's marathoner, we're like, I'm going to pull away from people as they fall apart late in this race. And that's what I'm personally hoping to get back to.
I love that. That's so good. I'm using that for my talk.
Copyright TM.
Peter's like, you better name drop me.
But I think, Laura, like, we've seen you like enforce over those miles, pull away. It's just like, it's like, you don't want all these 26 miles. I do. Let's go. And that's whether, I mean, I think it can take many, every training buildup is slightly different, but like, that's what I hope to get back to for whatever my next race is like putting in the work, whatever it is that's appropriate from wherever I'm at, to then look forward to it, not be like, oh, I'm hoping to like squeak by some of those miles.
I agree. And I feel like when like kind of speaking a little bit to what Matt was saying, like when you have a few in a row where you're just like not thrilled with the end result, I think it gets kind of scary to think about continuing to put yourself back out there. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in that way, I've lost some confidence and I don't go into races like you just said, Peter, and I used to. And so it's like, how do you get back to that? And it starts, I think, with just like training and just enjoying the process and having fun with it and taking some of this like built up internal pressure off. And it's like, once you do that and just get back to the root of what has always made running so fun and what has always made racing with that mindset so fun, like once I can kind of peel back to that, I think that's where the answers are. But yeah, it's hard after a while. You're like, man, it's kind of scary to like have to keep putting yourself back out there when you're like, I don't know, these just aren't going well.
It's hard. You look for those incremental wins, like breaking Brian Choi's femur. Like you like broke it. Lindsay, Laura trained her training partner, Brian Choi, shout out Brian Choi, into the ground such that he has a stress reaction in his femur.
Laura, why'd you do that?
I will say Brian did 2 marathon builds in the span of like 5 months, which I thought was one of the more impressive things I've ever seen. So sadly his body did kind of catch up to that.
It was like, could I have a moment, please? Yeah.
Yeah. Can we stop for like a second? God, we need to stop. But yeah, I know.
Lindsay, I texted Brian like, hey man, hope you're hanging in there with the injury. And he texted back like within a minute. You are texting with the new Michael Phelps. Like you do not even know. So well, talk about reframing.
I need to teach him my ways in the pool. We all know how well I swim. So anyway, I might be able to crush him in the pool too. We'll see.
Awesome. I was going to say.
That'd be horrible about your training partners.
Oh like, no.
You thought you were going to get away from me? Here we go.
You, you can't run and you can't hide.
You can't hide.
Yeah, I'm going to hunt him down. So he's not safe.
We need to get on Matt, you know, us masters athletes here, not you, Laura. But, oh, there he is. He's coming back. We need to make sure we are still talking about you. We need to make sure that Matt is on with his PT. I'm just nervous. I don't, as 40 plus runners, we got to make sure that we are keeping the injuries in check. So, Matt, I'm going to be on you to make sure you're doing all your strength work and you're checking in with your PT.
First step, get a PT.
I honestly, Matt, seriously,
mother
like
effer.
The next marathon I train for, that's where it starts. I'm getting a baseline. I'm checking in once a month, no matter what, because ain't nobody got time to be injured.
No, no one has time.
Exactly.
You need to get that situated, because what if you do this 7 days a week at 4:15 in the morning and you're super dedicated and 6 weeks later, you're like, I should have seen the freaking PT the second I started because I am 40 freaking 3 years old. I don't know how old you are.
43. You nailed it.
Oh,
Matt.
Well, I should say, I do have a PT to some degree. I have worked with Dwayne Scotty from time to time. So he's not close to me. He's down in New Haven. He has a podcast, The Healthy Runner.
Get it on the schedule, Matt. Get it on the schedule. We don't want you to be injured. We want to support you in this endeavor, and that is my first way I'm going to support you.
As a coach once told me, it's all about the one percenters. So it's not just about like the running that you're doing. It's about like the foam rolling or the mobility or the PT once a month or getting in the gym, which it sounds like you're already doing. It's all the it's eating, it's sleeping, it's hydrating throughout the day. Like it's all the little tiny things that a lot of people kind of like write off or don't want to fully commit to that end up making the difference in the end.
You didn't know. We talked about you this whole time you were picking your time.
Mostly I was hoping that you hadn't. Not gonna lie.
Speaking of PT, I actually do have a PT appointment in like 30 minutes. So
see, Laura's on it. Laura's on it.
Laura's committed.
We're pros, we're just like you.
We also skip our runs to listen to Taylor Swift. Pros journey.
I know. Yeah, that tells you where I'm at.
Hey, listen, if you are enjoying the podcast, share it with your friends on social media, leave us a rating and review, please. And tell your local races that you want to see us do a live podcast at a
Oh yeah, that'd be fun.
Thanks for being here.